Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. That's right, it's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors. But we do help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. And here we are again. And glad to have you with us as we look into the news that has shocked and stirred. And have you been shocked this week? Maybe you haven't been shocked this week. It's hard to be shocked anymore with everything. But let's go to the Democratic Republic of the Congo for some shock. Christian Post reports 70 Christians were discovered beheaded inside a Protestant church in the Democratic Republic of Congo. The victims had been kidnapped by the Allied Democratic Forces, that kidnapping people? That sounds like a Soviet-esque name, where you name something nice and then you kill people with it. The Allied Democratic Forces. This recent massacre, according to International Christian Concern, is not an isolated incident. They call it part of a grim tapestry of violence that has claimed over 6 million lives in the DRC over two decades of on and off war. The president of ICC says this is a religious genocide carried out by radical Islamic terrorists. That's the Allied Democratic Forces. They are actually radical Islamic terrorists, and they're also communists. And so they borrow the sword from Islam and the propaganda pen from Marx and Engels and the rest. Just awful. 70 beheaded in a church. So all professing Christians and Democratic Republic of Congo. Meanwhile, while that was happening, over in, where is this? That's from the war file. This is the ignorant affluence file. We go to Sicily, where in recent days, the east coast of Sicily has been flooded with tourists, blocking the roads and preventing emergency vehicles from getting to people threatened by an active volcano. Tourists are clogging the road in Sicily, blocking. Mount Etna is erupting. Its first eruption of the year is happening now. It ramped up over the last week or so, resulting in large lava flows that slice through the snowpack, meaning everyone wants to go take a selfie against the lava cutting through the snowpack. Officials forbid visitors from getting within 500 meters of the lava, but that directive is largely ignored because all the governments across the Western world have lost pretty much all credibility on just about everything. I mean, they've legalized drugs and sodomy, and they rob the people blind right in front of their faces, so it's kind of hard to enforce a 500-meter zone around the lava flow. Hordes of tourists, according to Yahoo News, which is another name for the Associated Propaganda Press, hordes of tourists unprepared for Mount Etna's dangerous terrain and environment are hiking and skiing on the snowpack, shockingly close to the fiery lava. Sicily's head of regional civil protection called the influx of tourists wild and extremely dangerous. Lava isn't the only threat. He reminds the tourists with their selfie sticks, large rocks can be violently hurled into the air, and then they eventually come back down, and they could land on your stupid head, tourist. Anyway, this is children, three or four generations from godliness and want. This is how they behave. And it's a recipe for a major spiritual correction, which we hope is coming. A major spiritual correction. Obviously, also there could be major social and political and carnal corrections that occur, but we hope for a spiritual correction. Speaking of corrections, we go to the Make America Great Again file. Oh, I'm sorry. This is from the Keep America Socialist Again file. I apologize. Scott Turner is the new Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, and he made a speech at the Conservative Political Action Conference, and nobody sees the irony in that. The guy who's been appointed the head of a Soviet-style bureaucracy makes a speech at the Conservative Political Action Conference unironically. I just want to point out the irony, okay? Maybe I'm the last person alive who would have recognized that. Anyway, Scott, the newly appointed secretary, says, "I'm ready to rebuild and revitalize American communities and ensure everyone has the opportunity to achieve the American dream." Mr. Turner went on, that's Scott Turner, head of the Soviet Socialist Urban Development Housing. Housing. That means houses. Housing is the bureaucracy's word for homes. Anyway, Scott went on to say that his own 24-year-old son had asked, "How am I ever going to be able to afford to buy a home, Daddy? It's so expensive." And Scott went and made a speech and said that he's inspired by his 24-year-old son to rebuild and revitalize American communities. Instead of telling his son, "Hey, kid, at 24, you shouldn't be able to afford a house. And it should seem impossible that you could ever buy a house. It's just your own distorted sense of entitlement that makes you think it should be any other way. You have a sense of entitlement instead of a firm understanding of reality. And if you had a firm understanding of reality, you would understand why you can't afford a house and it seems impossible. That's where you're supposed to be at 24, stupid kid." A 24-year-old man should expect to work like a rented mule well into his 30s just in hopes of saving up enough money to make a down payment on a real house. That's the real world, kiddo. And we're not going to establish a Soviet bureaucracy to help you get your first house. You're going to work like a rented mule like you're supposed to. Anyway, so I don't think a dad who raised a kid like that should be put in charge of this Soviet-style bureaucracy over there at Housing and Urban Development, which just sounds like it's right out of the Supreme Soviet. That whole bureaucracy should be shut down, and its offices should be converted into some sort of productive office space. You know, somebody needs to remind Trump that he's supposed to be draining the swamp, not just magnifying the swamp. USAID, great start, Don. Department of Education, I would love to see it. Those are not enough, sir. No, don't think actual conservatives are going to let you get by with shutting down just the two most egregious offenders. And by the way, you haven't shut down the Department of Education yet. Thought I didn't notice, Don. Don, you appointed a Secretary of Education and who should have been in charge of shutting it down. And she hasn't. Well, I think it's a girl. Actually, I don't know who he pointed as the Soviet Secretary of Education, but I know they're not shutting it down. All right. And that brings us to reason number 1,263. To get or keep your children out of the government schools, it's DEI, or as we call it, DIE. You know what it's all about. Department of Education imbecility, DEI. No, it's diversity, equity, and inclusion of perverts, queers, and creeps is what it's all about. Well, on Friday, this past Friday, the Department of Education issued a directive to public schools across the country. So I just want to stop right there, because that's communist tyranny. that an office of bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. could issue a directive to schools across the country. It's shocking and insane that that could have ever happened in America, and it happened last Friday, and nobody's even shocked by it. Nobody's saying, wait a minute, we got a bunch of communists who think they can issue directives from an office in Washington, D.C. to schools across the country? This is America, for crying out loud. That's insanity. That's communism. But no, they just report it. This is Am Greatness. A conservative website reports it as if that's not a problem. So let's move on. What was the directive issued by the priests at the Temple of Syrinx there in D.C.? They are ordered immediately to abandon diversity, equity, and inclusion. Uh-huh. Yeah. You'd ask, how is it that they could issue in a directive? If they don't abandon DEI practices, they risk losing federal funding. And so might I remind the folks at Am Greatness that this is where you do a pullout in the article and you remind people that federal funding of government schools is the tyranny that led to DEI. The reason DEI exists is because of federal funding of the government schools. Along with state funding of local school, along with city and county funding and public schools. That's why we ended up with DEI, but I'll do the pullout for you verbally. So, meanwhile, the department's acting assistant director for civil rights. I'm like, seriously? We have one of those? We have one of those at the Department of Education. We have an acting assistant director for civil rights. Okay. Drain the what? Huh? Shouldn't that have been drained off first? The acting assistant secretary for civil rights? Who's got the drain plug? That guy should have been sucked down first. But no, here he is. In fact, he was probably appointed by President Trump. I'm not going to name him because he's just a faceless, nameless bureaucrat who should be fired and forced to find productive work. We have this, by the way, this is in a bureaucracy. Donald Trump appointed an acting assistant secretary for civil rights in a bureaucracy he said he was going to close. I believe he's even called it a Soviet style bureaucracy. So it's not like Donald Trump doesn't know better. It's just that when you start writing people paychecks, it's a big ego rush, and it's hard to cut that off. Don, you got to get over it. Come on. His favorite term is you're fired. Come on, Don. Anyway, let's get back to the, what was it called? It was a directive. Under the banner of diversity, equity, and inclusion, the assistant secretary, acting assistant secretary, said, certain individuals and organizations have been smuggling racial stereotypes and explicit race consciousness into every everyday training programming and discipline. And I want to say to this guy, do you even hear yourself? Do you think there's an acceptable level of everyday training programming from the federal government into local kids' brains? Is that even, there's no level that's acceptable, sir. You are part of the problem, Mr. Associate Acting Assistant Director of civil, whatever you call yourself. She probably makes $180,000 a year assisting the direction of civil, whatever there, pushing papers around. And then all of a sudden, it's like he scurries out from under the dark cabinet and he's been caught. And he's like, this DEI is terrible stuff. I'm going to send out a directive to justify my grossly inflated salary. Okay, from there we go appropriately to the DIE file over at Revolver News. The mystery surrounding the latest Delta Airlines crash keeps deepening. You all saw the video, right? Where the plane hit the ground and then the wings ripped off and the plane flipped over. The reporter at Revolver says it's nothing short of a miracle that no one died, and I just want to remind him that it is something short of a miracle. Because 30 people went to the hospital, many were seriously injured, and with a miracle, nobody even gets hurt. Just want to point that out. Okay, I don't want to put too fine a point on it. But Anyway, all eyes, according to Revolver, turn to DEI. That's right, Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. Endeavor Air, which operated the Delta flight, is a loud and proud you go girl kind of company. They even bragged about their unmanned flights, which meant it was all girls and no men. So one pilot wrote on social media after watching the video of the crash, he said, well, things make a lot more sense now. They landed so hard that they collapsed the gear and ripped the wings off. This pilot says, quote, it's hard to describe how hard you have to hit the ground to do that. The captain is going to have a lot of explaining to do, but Delta still refuses to reveal who was at the controls on that disastrous day. And why else? How else? Why else would they not reveal who was flying the plane unless the arrows point right at DEI? Worldview, and I am your host, Doug McBurney. We are thankful that no one on that ill-fated Delta flight died. And apparently, as far as I can understand, there was one boy and one girl in the cockpit. But who had the con? Nobody's talking. How can that be allowed a week after a plane crash that you're not... I mean, there should be some sort of compulsory... You're just not allowed to lie about things like that. There was a plane crash, for crying out loud. You got to come clean. All right. So anyway, we will get to the bottom of that. And it will be unpleasant and distasteful, and it'll all smell bad. But we do have some good news. Let's go to the Epic Times, Dateline Los Angeles. Los Angeles County District Attorney Nathan Hochman, who is not George Soros Gascon, is now asking a court to deny a petition for a new trial for Lyle and Eric Menendez. So I'll remind the audience, under 40, Lyle and Eric Menendez murdered their parents. They were convicted of murdering their parents. For some reason, they weren't put to death because the world is insane and they are in prison and they're celebrities now. Just so give you some context. The Los Angeles County District Attorney Nathan Hochman says the alleged new evidence presented lacks credibility due to a history of deception by the brothers. And that's being far too kind, I would say, to Nathan Hochman, because there's also a pattern of deception among the lawyers who have defended these two murderers. So the two new pieces of evidence, I would say, are Exhibit A and Exhibit B for why the lawyers should be arrested. One is a photocopy of an undated letter allegedly written by Eric describing the abuse. And the other is a declaration by some guy nobody ever heard of who happened to be a friend of one of the kids back in the late 80s, early 90s, claiming that he was also abused by Jose Menendez. In the early 1980s, he was abused by Jose Menendez, who, so obviously Jose's not here to defend himself because his kids shot him to death with a shotgun along with his wife. So this guy who made the claim, I'm not going to name him, he should be arrested. The lawyers who want to actually put an undated photocopy of an alleged letter in as evidence, they should be arrested. And then Nathan is the DA, sorry about that. Lyle and Eric Menendez should be put to death. They should have been put to death a long time ago. The DA cited a pattern of deception that many of you have forgotten about, but some of us who are a little older, we actually lived through it. The DA, Nathan Hochman, reminded everyone that he outlined five different versions of events the brothers presented in court, ranging from denying involvement to claiming self-defense against imminent harm. And I remember it in real time because we all watched the trial. many people under 40, you don't remember that these guys told five different stories. They were lying every which way to Sunday. It was obvious they were lying. But someday soon, no one living will remember what actually happened. And so the left, the criminally insane sex cult who was on the verge of releasing these two guys, it was very scary. I thought they were going to get out. I thought Gascon, it was going to be his last hurrah. But the left will try to rehabilitate these two murderers as victims because, number one, leftists are just deranged. And number two, leftists are always trying to justify the murder in their own hearts. And so they love springing murderers out of prison because it makes them feel better about their own black hearts. But no matter what they do with Eric and Lyle, even if they spring them. Now, the good news is pretty much by the time everyone who remembers dies, Lyle and Eric should be dead too. So we can hope for that. And no matter what, history will speak the truth about Lyle and Eric Menendez. And when all the facts come out on Judgment Day, I expect that the conviction will not be overturned. I'll just leave it at that. All right. Now, that was out in Los Angeles, which is in California, which makes it this week into our Like a Suicide file. That's right. Let's see. This is from frontpagemag.com. Two California refineries have ceased producing gasoline in order to start making biodiesel fuel in order to receive big fat state subsidies for biodiesel, which is all well and good, you would think, right? But then there's also the Phillips 66 refinery complex that is scheduled to close down by the end of this year. They're just going to stop making gasoline altogether because they're tired of being treated like criminals by the state. And the authors here at Front Page Mag, they remind us that California legalized marijuana and then couldn't make money selling marijuana. So that's their level of incompetence, is that they're in a state where everyone's on drugs and the state failed to make a profit selling drugs to drug addicts, which a lot of amateur people are able to pull that off, at least for a short period of time. But up in the government in California, they were not able to do that. And now they are on the brink of creating some sort of catastrophe. I don't know how bad it'll be, but it could be pretty bad. So according to Front Page Mag, there are only 8 refineries in California, which is shocking because there's like 40 or 50 million people in California. And there's only 8 refineries that can make gasoline. So in California, they use a lot of gasoline, lots, and only 8 refineries. It seems like not enough to me. And Chevron and Valero have refineries that they are contemplating permanently closing because they're just sick of being treated as if they're robbing and murdering people. While other people who actually rob and murder people, they become celebrities. The oil companies are treated as if they're actually bad for all the murder they're participating in. And then listen to this. This is something I did not know. California is known as a gasoline island. Huh? Never heard that one before. What does that mean? Well, that means there are no pipelines to other states from which gasoline could be pumped to California. And so you got to be sitting there going, are you kidding me? How is that possible? I mean, in most states, there are pipelines crisscrossing every which way, everywhere, at least out west where I grew up, where people are still sane, fairly, somewhat. There's pipelines everywhere. But in California, they have purposely cut themselves off from gasoline. That's why this is from the Like a Suicide file, because you got to be like, what are they thinking about? Anyway, they say it's not hard to find $6 a gallon gas in California right now, and that could be just the beginning. The Democrat supermajority, which is the criminally insane sex cult mafia family that runs California, is enforcing laws and regulations designed to force refineries out of the state of California. It's designed to do it, and it's working. And so, speaking of, there needs to be a significant reset in the state of California. You got to figure they'll hit the wall out there at some point. You got to hope so, for the sake of, it's a beautiful state that's been corrupted and destroyed almost by a bunch of criminally insane perverts. And you got to figure there has to be some normal people out there. They produce half the vegetables in the planet, for crying out loud. All right, now, and you think it's bad on the West Coast, right? I remember Rush Limbaugh used to call it the Left Coast, ho, 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 and he made fun of it all the time. Well, let's go to University of Connecticut, which I don't think is on the West Coast. Let me think about that. I went through government schools, and I remember from geography, it seems to me that Connecticut is, it's on the East Coast. It might even touch the Atlantic Ocean. I'm not sure if Connecticut actually touches the ocean. I think it does. All right, so University of Connecticut, according to Breitbart, here's the headline. UConn installs abortion vending machines. Well, that's actually not the headline Breitbart wrote. Breitbart wrote, UConn installs Plan B contraceptive vending machines. Why did they write that headline? Because they've bought into the propaganda that Plan B is not abortion. And so here's the thing that Breitbart doesn't understand, is that God judges your heart. And so if you are promiscuous and you wake up in the morning and you take a pill so that you won't have a baby, that's murder. It doesn't even matter if you're not even pregnant. It doesn't even matter if nothing happened. It's your heart. You're a murderer because you would do that. So the University of Connecticut over there, it's called UConn. It's a very prestigious university. They've installed vending machines to vend out abortion pills. And I don't even know what they charge for them. 75 cents. I mean, it's like a buck and a half for a candy bar. I wonder what an abortion pill goes for. The move to have the vending machines spitting out abortion pills for all the promiscuous deviants there at UConn comes as laws have expanded contraception across the state after Roe v. Wade was overturned. Notice how Breitbart associates contraception with the overturning of Roe v. Wade. Well, I thought Roe v. Wade was about abortion. Wasn't that about abortion? Oh, that's because contraceptive pills, they're about abortion too, Breitbart. You should be able to put two and two together. Let me connect the dots for you, kiddos. Anyway, Connecticut now allows, quote, licensed pharmacists to prescribe contraception at pharmacies across the state following a brief training program, and also permits over-the-counter medications like emergency contraceptive Plan B to be sold in vending machines, unquote. Okay, so in soft drinks and wrapped in candy wrappers, dressed up as Snickers bars. Oh, no, I made that part up. They don't actually dress them up as candy. They don't, not yet. They're not allowed to have bright colors and pictures of bubbles and butterflies. According to Breitbart, the Plan B pill prevents a woman from getting pregnant. They leave out the part where Plan B kills the baby quickly if she does conceive, but they deny conception is conception because it's Breitbart and the whole MAGA crowd, they are post-Christian conservatives, which means they're not on the right anymore. I don't know where they are. They're out there careening toward eternal damnation is what they are. But they're going to do it not stealing as much of your money. And they're going to make you feel better about it. Okay. UConn, that's the University of Connecticut, run by a criminally insane sex cult. University said Plan B is not the same as RU486, the abortion pill. Why do they say that? Because they're lying. And they have to say that because it is pretty much the same. It kills the baby sooner. And there's a slightly different mechanism of action in some cases. But the heart is the same, you see. The heart is the same. The object is to encourage young people to fornicate and then to murder. That's the heart. And the heart's the same whether it's Plan B or RU486, the actual outright abortion pill that we all admit kills. Well, we don't want to admit it kills. It terminates a pregnancy is what we like to say at Breitbart. Okay, Breitbart closes the article. Despite Trump repeatedly stating abortion laws should be left up to the states, Democrats claim he will sign a national abortion restriction. And Breitbart wants to point out that that's false propaganda. Donald Trump has no intention of even issuing a restriction. Right? The Breitbart hacks, they can't even bring themselves to publish the term abortion ban. What is that? Is that even a word anymore? Abortion ban? Worldview, and I am your host, Doug McBurney. That's disturbing. Who would have thunk, right? That's so. You know what it is about MAGA? MAGA conservatives promise not to steal any of your money to kill their children. They'll do it themselves in the private sector, the way it's supposed to be done by conservatives. And they'll do it early on, for crying out loud. There doesn't have to be any actual blood. That's conservative. It's, in fact, I believe that's now the pro-life position. Congratulations to the pro-life industry. And so now we'll get to the heart of why all that's going on. As we go to the fake religion file, where we check in with Stream.org. Stream.org, which is second only to FaithWire, which we call FakeWire. Stream is second only to FakeWire in evangelical phoniness and fraud. That's right. It's the number two website dressing up Jesus in order to conceal the gospel. I know that sounds like, what are you talking about, Doug? Well, just follow me here, okay? We have an article here by, let's see, did I write the guy's name down? Yes, Joseph Matera. Who I didn't look into his background, but I'm going to guess that he has a THD, if not a PhD, or at least a BA in BS. Okay? Something like that. That's all I'm going to guess. See, he does claim to be a theologian. Obviously, he writes for Stream.org. .org means it's a charity, and they're not making any money, and they're not doing anything bad. The .orgs, you know, those are the NGOs. Then we know that they're all pure as the driven snow, especially the Christian ones. Okay, so Mr. Matera writes, "Why?" Here's the headline. Why are so many evangelicals deconstructing their faith? Asks Mr. Matera. This is from the fake religion file. He says, in recent years, evangelicals have begun to engage in a process that is commonly referred to as deconstruction. Reevaluating, questioning, or even rejecting the faith they once held. Many who deconstruct do so not from a place of deeper biblical engagement, but from personal disillusionment, cultural pressures, or a lack of theological grounding. Okay, so there's so much wrong with that sentence, but let me come back to that because, wow. This is an allegedly Christian website where alleged Christians go to find out what's being alleged about their faith. Like, anyway, he goes on. For some, deconstruction is a pathway to a more refined and mature faith. For others, it becomes an exit ramp. This article explores 20 key reasons evangelicals deconstruct. Helping believers and equipping them to build a faith that withstands doubt. Okay, there's so much wrong with that. I'll come back to that, though. So before he gives his big list of 20 reasons, he does a list of 20 reasons evangelicals deconstruct. He says before the list, he says, the perceived challenges are not necessarily items I am struggling with personally. For instance, I have no issue with the exclusivist claim of the historic church regarding Jesus as the only way to salvation.
He's Christian.
He's a Christian. He said Jesus right there.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, and then he goes on. The following are 20 reasons evangelical deconstruction takes place. First of all, I want to point out, Mr. Matera, it would probably be a good thing for evangelicals to deconstruct since most of them are not Christians. So they need to decouple from whatever they're into and get into Christianity, first of all. But he gives his list, which I am not going to address any of it. I'm just going to give the number one reason for evangelical deconstruction, and it's biblically illiterate apostolic covenant theologians like Joseph Matera, who fail to preach the gospel clearly and are even afraid to credit Jesus Christ publicly with Jesus' greatest claim during his earthly ministry, the claim that he was the Christ, the Son of God, the way, the truth, and the life by whom men may come to the Father for eternal life, and by no other. Mr. Matera, that was Jesus' claim, not a claim of the historic church, which, what is that? That's a fake designation. What is the historic church? If you mean like the religious leaders who've misread, misunderstood, misapplied, and misrepresented almost everything God ever taught, okay, Mr. Matera, then maybe I'll agree that the historic church makes some claims. But I certainly wouldn't quote those claims as if they were Jesus' claims. Why not just quote Jesus? Because he said that, and you could even quote the verse if you wanted to. But Mr. Matera, he only mentions the name of Jesus twice in this rather long article. He only lists the name of Jesus twice, and he never calls him the Christ. Which I think that's banned on stream. It's part of their style template. At stream.com, as well as FakeWire, that you don't ever use the terms Jesus and Christ together because that can be offensive. He mentions Jesus by name once, right here in relation to the historic church. And then here, listen to his other mention of the name Jesus, just to get an idea where this guy's at. Under the heading of one of his reasons evangelicals deconstruct, number whatever on the list, social justice concerns. Many younger evangelicals feel their church has lagged in addressing issues like racial justice, poverty, and gender equality. A perceived lack of concern for social issues can cause people to question whether the church aligns with the compassionate and justice-centered life of Jesus. Unquote. So, okay. That's the only other mention of Jesus, and it has to do with being good with the fags. So that's all. And the communists. And by the way, he talks about people's church and people's faith. So it's not about your church. It's not about your faith. It's about your salvation, and it's about the doctrine. It's not your faith. What is your faith? Your faith happens one time. You believe. There, you got faith. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You're not going straight to hell with jet rockets anymore. Good for you. After that, it's not about your faith. It's about doctrine. So, I mean, you believe, but it's actually the faith of Christ that saves you because your faith can't save you from anything. So you don't have to do anything about your faith. Jesus provided enough faith to cover you. Okay, you're good to go. But you need to work on doctrine. And because a psycho-babbling leftists like this guy are pawn themselves off as Christian leaders, that's why evangelicals are deconstructing. And it's also because evangelicalism is pretty much fake. That's all. Most of them aren't Christians. So, yeah, they deconstruct all right. Yeah, the exclusivist claim of the historic church regarding Jesus as the only way to salvation. Man, okay. And not a scripture verse? Okay. Well, I guess when you're quoting the historic church, you don't have to quote scripture because you're quoting the historic church. All right. Well, there you go. The deconstruction of the evangelical calliope, which that was bound to crash for crying out loud. It's ridiculous. All right. And because the so-called Christian church has been allowed to fester, or I don't know what to call it. I don't know what to call that. It's embarrassing that that's... But because all that is going on, because the church has failed to maintain our position as the pillar and ground of the truth, the lost world, the unsaved, the heathens, they're going wild. They're insane. They're just going to destroy the world. Listen to this. Although this is a bit of good news. This is from the Widespread file reported by NBC News. Trump Saturday terminated hundreds of employees at the Centers for Disease Control responsible for, what are they responsible for? Training public health laboratory staffers supporting outbreak response efforts. So that means all the people who were in charge of initiating the next pandemic, Trump's trying to fire them as fast as he can. But the bad news is that the federal Leviathan has been staffed with a unit whose design is to instigate the next pandemic. And can Trump drain the swamp fast enough before we get there? I hope he can. The people he fired called themselves the disease detectors. And their slogan is, if you're not testing, you don't know what disease is there. Test, test, test. That was, So termination emails were sent to the disease detectors on Saturday, last Saturday, citing poor performance. Yeah, poor performance was the reason for the firings, even though most of the dismissed employees have excellent performance reviews. That's according to a mid-level CDC official who handed out the excellent performance reviews for anyone who didn't embarrass the agency or get caught stealing too publicly. The mid-level CDC official commented on the excellent performance reviews before he was fired. Thank you very much. We hope he was fired. Let's see. Multiple outlets reported that a larger sister program at the CDC called the Epidemic Intelligence Service, known as the agency's disease detectives, not the disease detectors. That was over at, where were these other guys? The Centers for Disease Control. Oh, it's the same department. So we have the disease detectors, but there's another agency called the disease detectives. That's typical, right? Of course. Exactly. It is. It's like fourth grade. It's like the children are ruling over us. Anyway, the disease detectives, that group is expected to be cut significantly as well. And so I just want to say Donald Trump is doing the right thing despite not knowing why he's doing the right thing in firing all these insane people. Useless bureaucrats, hysterics, leftists who want another pandemic and want another lockdown. I warn you people, there's a good 10 to 20% of the country who want it. And I would guess that easily a third to half of the federal bureaucracy and the bureaucracies in the various states, they want it too. They want it again. It was good for them. They liked it just fine. Let's see here. Do I have anything else from... Yeah, Don, you're doing the right thing. I understand that you don't know why. If someone could lend Don a hand and help him understand and believe in why he's doing the right thing, he would do even better. So all of you alleged evangelicals around Donald Trump, if one of you would actually enlighten him about the truth of the gospel, he would do even better. His draining of the swamp, Don's draining, that's anemic, absolutely anemic compared to what Jesus has in store when he takes his rightful position as chief executive and king. And if Don knew about that, he'd really understand what it means to drain the swamp. We'll be right back.
Weekly Worldview.
I'm your host, Doug McBurney. How happy were they to get rid of David Lee Roth? That intro is, that tells you how happy. Anyway, that's a little inside baseball for, well, anyway. All right. So I just told you there's a good 10 to 20% of the population who want, actively want, they lust after the idea of another pandemic and lockdown. See, I got an article from uncancelled.news. From the widespread panic file, they are rerunning the COVID script on bird flu. Let's review what's happened during COVID. What happened, I'm sorry, during COVID. One, over many years, bioweapon scientists, under the guise of pandemic preparedness, genetically manipulated a bat coronavirus. Meanwhile, they also developed and patented vaccines. In late 2019, SARS-CoV-2 was leaked from a laboratory. Public health authorities then took advantage, coercing governments to impose lockdowns. Public health authorities performed indiscriminate PCR testing. This testing and fear-mongering and government abuse of power produced panic and prolonged the lockdowns and fear. And finally, the population was blackmailed into accepting the vaccine shots into their arms in order to have a normal life again. That's the COVID script. I might disagree with the point to here or there, but I mean, pretty much that's pretty accurate. What's happening now with the H5N1 bird flu? Number one, under the guise of pandemic preparedness, scientists have genetically manipulated the H5N1 avian influenza virus. So that I'm not so sure about. But they're messing with these viruses, and whether they know what they're doing or not, that it's dangerous. So whether or not they can manipulate a virus to make it infect people, I just kind of doubt that, because they would have already wiped out the planet, I think. I don't think they can do that. But they're playing with these viruses in irresponsible ways. I agree with that. Number two, meanwhile, they developed patented vaccines, which they have done for the bird flu. They just approved the first one. In early 2022, bird flu leaked from the USDA Southeast Poultry Lab in Athens, Georgia. Another lab leak. Oh, then public health authorities denying the leak's occurrence while simultaneously coercing governments to impose mass slaughter of farm animals, creating food shortages. And then the indiscriminate PCR testing every chicken on the planet with PCR tests, producing massive amounts of false positives. This prolongs the mass slaughter, the food shortages, and then finally blackmail the population into accepting vaccines into the food supply in exchange for a return to normal life and reasonable chicken and egg prices again. Anyway, the author says, this is not a conspiracy. This is basic pattern recognition. We should all understand the arsonists are now running the fire department, which is pretty, yeah, I think he's right. All right, meanwhile, oh, this is just, talk about turning your stomach. Hamas, last Thursday, they released the remains of four Israeli hostages it murdered. What? Breitbart. I don't know what's going on with these urinalists. What do you mean Hamas calling Hamas it? Hamas is not an it. It's a them. Hamas released the remains of four hostages it murdered. Four hostages they murdered. Maybe it's just a typo. I'm so cynical. The bodies handed over last Thursday were handed over in a ghoulish Gaza ceremony. And they were said to be that of Cherie Bibas and her two children. Turns out the mother, it wasn't even really her body. And two others, as well as Oded Lifshitz, who was 83 when he was snatched. So the Israelis are now exchanging terrorist prisoners for dead bodies. We've actually gotten there. And so how does Hamas remind the Jews that they're being humiliated? The remains last Thursday were delivered in black coffins. The caskets were locked and presented without a key. After being paraded before a delirious crowd cheering the murder of innocent women and children, and then locked in a black coffin. So the Jews have to literally break into the coffin to get to the... and then there was the release of six living hostages on Saturday. I didn't even look into it because I can't take looking at this anymore. It's Hamas says they're going to release four more bodies next week. That'll complete the first phase of utter humiliation and of this just humiliation and cowardice of the Israeli state and their godlessness, their helplessness. And so that will leave 60 hostages still in Hamas hands, around half of whom are believed to be already dead, but for whom the Jews are willing to trade live terrorists who will attack and kill innocent people again. Dead bodies to be exchanged for thousands of terrorists. And whatever testicles were left in the godless Israeli society will also be exchanged, since they're obviously not needed. Okay, so from there we go to Dodge. That's Elon Musk's group of coding, laptop-armed auditors, basically. Going in and finally just pulling back the curtain and looking at what's actually been going on with the federal government pretty much since World War II. And they found $4.7 trillion in payments were just not marked as to where they were going. There was a federal tracking system in place. It's called the Treasury Access Symbol, and it's an identification code associated with a payout, which is supposed to say where it goes, but it turns out it was voluntary. And so $4.7 trillion was dispersed with no way to track where it went. Golly, how does that happen? That's just bureaucratic inefficiency. It's just... That's all. And so anyway, the Dodge and the Trump administration have now made Treasury account, Treasury Access Symbol. They've made that a required field. So, yeah, they just had to write a little code so that you can. Now that's a required field. Nobody in the federal government appreciates that. They think that's an extra step that complicates things. This will increase insight into where money is actually going, which it should be obvious to everyone by now that the whole point was to not want to know where the money was going because it was being stolen. Massive amounts of money being stolen and redirected and literally robbed in broad daylight from the federal treasury for my entire lifetime. Trillions and trillions of dollars. And my fear around all this, I mean, I'm glad they're doing this, and this is all coming to light. Two things. Number one, that there are a significant portion of society is being allowed to deny this, that this is all obviously true. The greatest theft and fraud in human history, at least as far as dollars. And people are being allowed to deny it in public. I mean, most of them are losing their shows and going off the air, at least on television, cable and whatnot. But people in my circle are so delusional that they think this is some sort of conspiracy to make a bunch of communist thieves look bad. And they feel sorry for it. I don't understand. Anyway, but another thing I worry about is that without moral restraint, which it's obvious now that Elon Musk has no moral restraint. What with the 13th child or whatever it was he sired with the airhead and that whole thing. That's just an ugly, nasty, awful thing that should give everyone insight into the heart of Elon Musk, that he does that to his children. Elon Musk is a failure at the most significant job on earth. And that is father. That's the most significant job, and he's an utter failure, and he's going to fix America. Okay. My fear is without godliness and with no moral restraint, Dodge and Trump and Elon, they're simply going to organize a cheaper and more efficient racket at the federal government. Anyway, that's just one of my concerns. Color me a pessimist, I apologize. I don't trust these people because they're a bunch of godless heathens. That's all. Okay. Meanwhile, we go from there to reason number 1,262 to get your children out of the government schools. We go to Penfield, New York, where parents there in Penfield were raising concerns that the school board is not listening to their feedback. What happened? What did the parents want a feedback about? Well, a kindergartner came home with a dirty book with illustrations of men and women at a pride parade wearing no clothing. So the reporters at Rochester First here, they say the kindergartner came home with a book that has illustrations of people not wearing any. It's a dirty book. Someone in a kindergarten comes home with a dirty book that he got from the school. And so parents went to the PTA meeting planning to express their concerns. I'm sorry, not the school board meeting, official meeting. They wanted to express their concerns. And when the school board heard that there were people concerned, they called a recess and left. And the parents were there basically allowed to express their concerns to one another because the school board didn't want to hear them, and they don't have to. The school board issued a statement instead saying librarians follow strict rules about what is allowed for specific ages and students. And they were well within those rules. These parents have no right to be concerned. We follow the rules. We know which dirty books the kids in kindergarten need. We have the dirty books all the way through 12th grade. We know which books to give them. These parents. A parent that spoke with News 8 there in Penfield says that what they want is for the school board to listen to their concerns. Okay, that's real nice of you, Mom. I want them arrested. So anyone who gives a dirty book to a kindergartner, I don't want them to hear my concerns. I don't even want to go to a meeting. I want to be able to call the cops and have the cops arrest them, charge them with being a sex pervert, a child molester. But that's not the state of affairs in upstate. A board member on the school board that gave the dirty books to the kids, he told News 8 that some in attendance were yelling and name-calling. And while the board is open to different thoughts and ideas and disagreements, everything should be discussed with civility and respect, said school board member who gave dirty books to the kids. And I just want to remind the Penfield school board, we don't have to have disagreements with civility with criminals. With criminals, you can exercise physical force to restrain them and put them on trial and punish them for being creeps and perverts. That's what should be. Forget civility. We'll hit you with a billy club, put handcuffs on you, and throw you in the back of a police car, you pervert. But no, we won't. We're expected to be civil with a bunch of criminally insane sex perverts running the schools. Penfield superintendent, this is the guy in charge of the organization handing out dirty books to kindergartners. Is there a worse crime on the planet, by the way, than handing out dirty books to kindergartners? That's got to be like top three worst things you can do. I mean, you're going to suffer in one of the darkest, hottest parts of hell if that's what you do. So anyway, he's the superintendent. He walks around in broad daylight like he's not a criminal. He says the book will remain in the library because there has been no formal request for it to be removed. And apparently, no one has the courage to arrest this bastard and say, "Oh, you think you're going to keep giving these dirty books to my kids?" I'd do a citizen's arrest on him. I'll tell you what, I go down to school. You want to hear some concerns? I'm going to give you some concerns. You're going to be concerned. All right, I'll leave it at that. Okay. Meanwhile, while Western civilization is suffering through just a swirling, sucking eddy of godless despair, it's not as bad as South Africa. In South Africa, the African National Congress passed the Expropriation Act of 2024, allowing the government to confiscate private property based on social equity. That's right. That means the black people in South Africa can take the farms from the white farmers. And we're not going to say that they can just kill them. But it might involve killing them, because that's how these things have always gone before throughout all of human history. And so that's what's been passed. The government's allowed to take land from anyone for reasons of equity and reparations. The law does not specifically name the Boers or killing the Boers, but everyone in South Africa knows exactly what it means. And anybody with an IQ above plant life understands exactly what this is all about. It's about genocide. It's about whipping up a frenzy of hatred against a certain group of people, and then that group of people gets slaughtered. Gee, could that ever happen in Africa? I think so. So the communists running South Africa are on the verge. And now the Trump administration, America has cut off federal subsidies to the South African government and has also offered refugee status to white South African farmers who might have to run for their lives. The South African media, meanwhile, is telling farmers not to consider becoming refugees. They say the U.S. would be a dangerous place for them to live, which is now that, of course, is true. They end up going to Baltimore. They might get shot, go to Portland, but they would probably go to Kansas or Idaho. So this is all happening despite the fact that the communists running South Africa, they need the white farmers for food. But they're willing to use them as political scapegoats, which is the definition of deranged, criminally insane behavior. That leads to genocide. You're going to kill the people who grow your food for political expediency? Okay, well, that's going to end bad. All right, so I don't know that I can do any more. I can't take it. Yeah. That's it for the Weekly Worldview, ladies and gentlemen. It's been quite a week. And I want to thank you for tuning in. We're always here to try to help you understand what's actually going on from a biblical perspective. And I know I get upset about it sometimes, but I think I have a right to be upset. And also because I'm suggesting solutions. I'm not just ranting and raving. What we need is godliness. What we need is people who actually read the Bible and understand it and know who Jesus Christ is and how he's operating so that we can save these people from one another, for crying out loud. All right. Now I want to thank my friends at Real Science Radio and you. And until the next time, should the Lord tarry, we will return then. And till then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.